Welcome, everybody. It's the Wrestling Show. This is where Mr. Billy Body and myself, Kev Manning, go over everything that happened this week in the awful world of wrestling. Not everything, though, because old Double or Nothing and all that shit happened this week, and I couldn't tell you a fucking thing that happened over there, other than that there was a crowd, and God bless live people. What do you say, Bill?
I watched it. I bought it, watched it live.
Did you enjoy it? I mean, you keep up with it at all? Like, you know some of the storylines and shit like that, or no?
Yeah, I keep up with it from time to time. I already bought it in the day. Wait, sorry, can you hear that?
No.
Oh, good. Because when you get a text tone, you can hear it, but like, I wonder if it comes through to the show. Yeah, I bought it, but I'd already bought it in the day. The idea was because Austin's on half term to let him stay up and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I snapped my leg in half, so I didn't end up having him come over and watch it. So I caught it as I came back in from my taxi from the hospital.
Which was worse, watching the pay per view or having your leg snapped?
Oh, the pay per view is fine. Why am I getting these taxis constantly? I need to mute my.
You're okay on this end.
My phone. How do you do it? Like, you always know how to.
Yeah, there's.
That's the thing. I've got my thing on.
You just have that little button snapped on the side, right?
All right, I just changed it to none, just temporarily. All right, so yeah, no, it wasn't too bad. It was too AW. It was just too AW. Do you want me to review the show first, like before we start?
Sure, you can give it a good little rundown. You don't have to go crazy, but sure.
Or do you want me to explain like how I snapped my leg in half?
No. I don't want to. I'm going to make people wait for that story to the next show. So they have to tune in to hear about how Billy snapped his leg. Because then the next show will get higher hits because people will talk about it.
Well, I'll just say this. Sid's injury from, what was that, Sin? Sin 2001, I believe.
You would know better.
You know what we forgot to do? We forgot to do the quiz that you were supposed to set up.
You know what? True. I thought about it last week, and I go, motherfucker, I forgot. Next show, we're doing that because I got a fucking house sit, so I won't be doing shit. So I could look up stuff and have a good game.
It was my idea not to do it immediately the next week because it was pay-per-view week, but last week we should have done it. But, so Sid's break, leg break, exactly the same. But my foot was hanging off my leg, and there's pictures of it as well. I mean, go to SGP Soccer and you'll see, but I'll get into the story next week about it and the surgeries and things that I've had and had to have. But I come back in from that, having had the fucking emergency surgery that night. So I come in and watch the pay-per-view, and I can't sleep anyway because I'm so sick. Like, you think you can sleep on these drugs, but once like the morphine and the sedative and whatever did its job initially to get me through the first surgery, once I'm coming out of it, because they woke me up to say, we want you to get out of this hospital now because your second surgery is not going to be done today because we need to reduce the swelling.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to go home for it. Then I'm still like, I'm then like just ridiculously sick and nauseous on this medication, like gas. And like when I was in the ambulance, I was taking this gas in, like just taking it in and sucking it in and sucking it in and sucking it in, like nitrogen or whatever it is. There's nitrogen gas. So all this stuff's in me. So I'm watching the show and I'm feeling so fucking sick, but I didn't miss a minute of it because I was feeling too ill to sleep. So I got a pretty decent like perspective of what, because if I bought it, and then watched it the next day. If I'd watched it with Austin the next day,
yeah,
I would have forwarded through certain bits because I know when some of these guys with their egos are going to go like 40 minutes for no reason, like they're going to do 20 minutes of shit at the start, work a body part, all that stuff. You know, I don't need to see that anymore at my age and the amount of matches I've seen, but they start really, really fucking hot. So they put the babe Adam Page over as the babyface at the beginning of Hangman Page beats Taz's guy.
Archer?
No,
that's Jake the Snake's guy.
No, he's with Jake the Snake.
Is it Cage?
Yeah, Brian Cage. That's it. Yeah.
How about that? I even know that. How about that?
He beat Brian. Yeah, and how about I don't? he beat Brian Cage. So that was fine. The Young Bucks against Moxley and Eddie Kingston goes pretty long. Finish was a bit underwhelming, like they isolated, but logical, like they isolated one man, got one man out of the match.
Are the Bucks a bad guys now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Dean's just like fighting on his own, firing up on his own, trying to take him on. He's trying to like take him on by himself, but in the end, they end up like getting the win over him. And they do their finish. They did like this double knee finish, but they hit it four times in a row on his head and then pin him. So up to this point, it's all fine, but then it starts to derail when it just starts to all fall apart here. So these are my criticisms of the show. This battle royal that they do, this thing where I forget what it's Casino Royale, I think it's called, where they draw a pack of cards. So they got 21 guys in there. Okay. Five guys are one type of card, and the other five guys are another type of card. So you're looking at like spades, diamonds, sure, hearts, etc., clubs, and don't need etc. when I've named three out of four. So I'll just name it. And yeah, so they all come out in their groups one by one, but there's no interval. It's like they come out five at a time for one set of cards, right? Mm-hmm. That makes sense to you?
Yeah.
And then there's a few minute gap, and then the other set of cards will come out, but they still come out one by one. So it's supposed to be like groups of five, but it's still like 20 seconds after the groups of fives come out, and then it's like a couple of minutes. So it's very complicated.
The guys don't come out at one time that all have that same card. They come one after another.
Well, they do come out at one time, but they all have their own entrance.
I got you.
So it's like 20 seconds apart.
Okay.
And then there's a couple of minutes before the next set of cards come out. So Christian's in this. He's the odds-on favorite to win. Because it was misleading that the winner becomes a number one contender. But what they didn't say was, and I wouldn't have picked Christian if I knew this, that the winner gets a shot on the next episode of Dynamite or a Dynamite in 2 weeks.
Oh.
So you know that Cage and Kenny Omega is not happening on Dynamite. So you knew it was going to be a different winner if you knew that information going in. But they were clever because they held it back. So Jungle Boy ends up winning, which is Luke Perry's son. He gets rid of Christian at the end. I think Christian got legitimately injured in this match, which is maybe they changed the finish or something, or maybe they just got legitimately injured, because you could tell he wasn't right. He was overselling. Leo Rush was the Joker, by the way. He was the 21st man. He came in and just did some spots and got eliminated pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So this I found this match to be pretty boring. It was just getting guys on the card for the sake of it. And I think whenever you do that, when you get women on at WrestleMania, it's always shitty. And this was the shitty part where it kind of went off the rails. Then Cody Rhodes comes out. And this guy, he's on an incredible streak of fucking awful feuds that don't make any sense. Like, his ego is running wild. When people say, oh, WWE wasted him, they didn't. WWE got rid of some serious trash here who has managed to talk himself up into a higher echelon. He's managed to convince people that he's in some bracket he doesn't need to be in. All he does in all his matches, he didn't do it in this one, but usually all he does is gets into these like feuds and makes it really personal, and then he bleeds and then he wins. Well, in this one, for no reason whatsoever, so he decided to make it about patriotism. Now, the guy on the side, the guy who's the trainer there, he's got his own faction. I've forgotten. TC Marshall, I think his name is, something like that. So he was friends with Cody, and he got fed up of being Cody's shadow. Well, you are, because nobody knows who you are, and he only got a job because he is there. So he's a trainer. So he's training like his own faction. And one of them is Anthony Ogogo, who's a British boxer. He was supposed to be big time, but he got an eye injury and lost 80% of his sight in one eye, so he had to retire from boxing. He's an Olympic bronze medalist, but he was really huge. Like, he got, when he was undefeated, he got the Subway commercial and everything over him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's been signed up to be a wrestler. So if you look at his look and look at his credentials and everything, and the fact that they put him on an unbeaten streak where he was beating everybody with a knockout punch, a gut punch.
Yeah.
He was beating everybody with a body shot. So he's getting a really good push. So he comes into this feud with Cody, and Cody's turning around and making it about, America. I've never not been a patriot. I've never not loved America. Cut this fucking awful primary.
I saw that.
He's like crying. He's going, I'm about to, he goes, and I'm about to, these are tough times, but I'm so proud to give birth to a child that's going to be half black, beautiful baby that's going to be half black and half white. And it was like the cringiest fucking shit because everything he does is completely unnecessary and over the top, including doing a weigh-in. He did a weigh-in with this guy.
Oh, really?
A week before. Why? Did, a
Why?
To cut what weight class?
Yeah, there is no weight classes if for rest.
No. So if you come in at 20 pounds over what? Like, what can you be over or under?
He's just understand. Trying to make it like a big fucking event, I guess. I mean, that's the only thing I can see. He's just trying to imagine and pretend it's like bigger than it is.
Right, but he's only applicable to his feuds, and it's stuff that doesn't make any sense. Like, there's no need for a weigh-in. Like, you could do a face-to-face confrontation or contract signing, which they do, or a press conference, I think they've done before. But a weigh-in makes absolutely no sense. If you were having a boxing match with the boxer, that would make sense. Sure. So everything with him, he gets all these bells and whistles, but they're shit bells and whistles that don't make any sense. And then he goes out there in the match, and he goes over clean. He goes over. The match is shit. Like, the guy isn't ready. The guy isn't ready to do 15 minutes at all, right? But he is. He's obviously going to be an asset because, you know, he's got a good look and he's a boxer and he could be an asset to the company if you keep him winning. Mm-hmm. And if he goes over in 5-10 minutes, or even if he goes over here with cheating or whatever, but he can't go 15. He's making him do holds. He's going off the top. They're doing like splashes, everything. The match, in terms of the order of things, the way they're doing him, it doesn't make sense. The finish just comes out of nowhere. Cody puts himself over. Fucking horrendous. Like, this guy is fucking cancer to this company.
It's because they put a flag over him. That's the fucking reason for this feud, that they covered him with the British flag. Not even... what? I don't know if we're enemies with you guys.
No, exactly. Everything this guy and his wife does. And it's him... He and his wife had to be put with Jade and Shaq when Shaq come in, had to work with them. Like she ruined that. She's like tries to be a commentator. She tries to be a ring announcer. She tried to be a manager. Thank God she's pregnant, so she can try and be a bad at mothering instead. So you can get her off TV, and then maybe you can get him off TV as well. Maybe this guy gets to get his wing back and gets injured, He can get Cody injured. Sorry, I'm on drugs. He can get him injured and get him off. And get him off TV, because that would be the only way this guy recovers. But the fact is that he didn't need this loss at all. You'd never recover like from your first loss. I don't know why when wrestling is going to understand that concept of undefeated means something. You know, it worked with the streak for years, but it doesn't seem to land with wrestling people. They seem to want to beat everybody. Or Cody needlessly like went out and beat this guy. We then get Archer and Rusev. Miro, this is not great either. A crowd are getting like tired at this point. They've basically blown their load for the first two matches, and they're tiring here. So there's no real interest in this Miro match. He only won the belt the other night, so he defends it. Jake comes down. This is fucking awful because Jake can't take a bump.
Yeah.
So Miro like pulls him into the ring. When he comes onto the apron with a snake, Miro pulls him into the ring, and Jake has to sell being pulled into the ring like it was a dick shot. So he has to like, so I'm literally telling you, Cap, he was pulled into the ring. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the snake was grabbed. And then he was pulled into the ring and he was in a tug of war for the snake. He had to sell losing the tug of war like it injured him. So Miro, then it's obviously not snake in it because Miro launches the snake bag down the ramp. So it's all fucking awful. And Miro, so he ends up winning the match. After that, we get the Sting Darby Allin match against Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. They win, but it's just very normal. Sting and Darby Allin. But they're saying, you know, you've still got it or whatever, just because he can basically move, because this fan base just support anything that this company do. They're blind to this like an 800,000 person cult. Of fans, so they'll just blindly accept anything, including what happens here in the main event. Kenny Omega beats Orange Cassidy and Pac. This is fine, but I thought it was going to be much better, and it seemed like it never went home properly. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it never really got going. Like there was a spot where Kenny's got like four championships from TNA. He's a TNA champion, AW champion, a couple of other belts, whatever. Remember, I watched this very casually, so mm-hmm. it's not me not doing my job. You're just getting a bonus review here. I'm just watching this because I watch their pay-per-views, but I don't keep up week to week. So he's got his four belts that he's won, and he starts nailing Pac and Orange Cassidy with the belts. But Orange Cassidy makes the comeback. He makes the comeback on him. And you think, you know, this is the start of them going home. There's going to be a go-home sequence because all night they've done the same thing. One, two, no, one, two, no, one, two, no. And by the point, you're sick of it. And where it should be is here. Like, you need one, two, no here. So Orange Cassidy gets a backslide. Kenny Omega reverses the backslide. And it's a backslide where Cassidy gets a two, but then Kenny slides. It's one, two, but then Kenny slides it, and then he gets one, two, three on the same move. So it's not like a backslide reversal. He actually executes the backslide and gets a two count on Kenny. And then Kenny turns his back the other. You know, I don't even think it's a backside. It's a crucifix, sorry. It's a crucifix by Cassidy. And then Kenny reverses the cut kick, gets out of the crucifix on two by reversing the crucifix. And then he gets a three. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm trying to picture how that could
picture the crucifix.
Yeah.
So picture the crucifix. And then the crucifix gets turned into a...
So he can kind of roll back on the guy. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, so like one guy shoulders down, but then the other guy... But then suddenly like the other guy rolls and the other guy's shoulders are down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all it was. And then it's like out of nowhere you get that finish. So it was like kind of underwhelming. And then main event, first main event in front of fans where you haven't had fans for over a year. They do a backstage match. It's backstage. Now, we knew this match was coming, but to do it in a main event to me is just ridiculous. So they obviously are aware of that. So near the end, right at the finish, they send a couple of guys back to the arena. Jericho comes back out there with MJF, mm-hmm. and Sammy Guevara comes out there with Ty Dillinger and pins him for the finish. But, you know, they do all the cinematic stuff in the back and everything.
Was there something with Urban Meyer? Did he fucking involve himself? He hit somebody with a fucking laptop?
The owner of the Jags.
Yeah. No, the coach of the Jags.
Yeah, he's in there. He's in there. Something like Jericho, I think, or somebody said something to him.
Yeah, I heard. I think I was hearing on Sports Show today with Pat McAfee show. They talk about that.
It's not as good as you think it is.
No.
I
didn't think it was very good anyway. So.
Yeah, it was good to have the fans there, and this is going to have a lot of four-star stuff. I can just tell already. Like, Meltzer's going to overrate that title match. Meltzer's going to... I mean, the opener was was solid.
Meltzer, this is what bothers me with him most of all. It's not even him getting shit wrong, because I go, well, he paved the way kind of thing. Okay, whatever. I know he's living on borrowed time. It's the, greasing a palm. So I'll say everything you do is great. There's no, it's very Rush Limbaugh. Anything Republican, I'm for. Can't disagree with anything. And it's like, get your own fucking opinion. Be it's able like Nick, to critique.
It's like Nick with the vaccine.
Yeah, it's if somebody doesn't have, they can't see two different things is troublesome. And Meltzer has they're his friend and they like him. So he will be friendly back to them. It's the same as with Trump. You're friends to him. He's nice to you. You shit on him. He shits on you. So it's like, oh, they let me borrow this product to test. Well, they were nice enough to give it to me, so I better give them a good review. It's fucking retarded. Be able to fucking say, nah, this was fucking horrible. Your credibility's on the fucking line. And they're fucking cowards that don't want to upset anybody. So they give you a shit review. And we, on the other hand, I don't care who the fuck wants to be friends with me. I see it a little bit with Billy, with Drew, but you have critiqued certain things. And it's more so, as most of this stuff is, I don't even consider it the wrestler's fault, more so of the fucking writing, for the most part, because you're doing what you're told.
Just one thing, I missed Britt Baker winning the women's title. That wasn't done on purpose.
What was with the Nia Jax fucking thing? I just saw that they, like...
Okay, so Britt Baker wins the belt. This made no fucking sense at all. So she's a heel. The other girl's a babyface. She's been champion for over a year, right?
Sure.
So Britt Baker does a heel thing where she says, oh, so we do the ranking system here, right? So she goes, I'm going to do what everybody else does. I'm going to have to go up the rankings because it shouldn't even be. She goes, her whole thing was, it shouldn't be on the rankings. It should be on who's the most popular and who sells the most t-shirts, right? But she goes, but this company is backwards. So I'm going to just use your stupid rating system. So she goes on the other TV show, like AW Dark.
Yeah.
She starts making cameos and it's good. She starts getting a win streak against jobbers. And she was like, oh, look, I'm 9-1. Give me a shot. So that was all good. Super heel stuff. She comes into this match. The other girl can't beat her with all her moves. Even her manager interferes, but gets it wrong. Mm-hmm. And then Shida can't pin her off her manager messing up. And then the manager gets ejected from ringside. So she's kicked out of everything. She then puts the babyface into a submission, puts the mandible claw on her. She calls it something else because she's a dentist. She puts the mandible claw on her and wins clean. Twins clean after the other girl couldn't put her away despite her manager like fucking up and stuff.
Mm.
So it makes absolutely no sense. She's a total heel going in. She's crying and everything. Tony Schiavone comes out of his, because he's done segments work where she's been like,
she bashes him, right?
Where she mocks him for fancying. And even like his whole thing is, you know, even the commentators mock him. It's like, oh, you're in love. He's got a thing for Britt Baker.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes over. He leaves his seat and he's all emotional. She's crying and he's crying and they like,
oh my god!
And they end up hugging each other.
Oh my
and
god!
Like, and he's whispering stuff in her ear, like it's all genuine. Like it's all
that's
it's
terrible.
Like, why do you do it backstage? Like he's helped her get over by the way that she's like degraded him.
Yeah,
as like a dirty old man that fancies her. But then they break characters here to hug each other on the ramp, but she's crying. She's a heel. She just kicked out of every single girl. Her girl's move, she kicked out of a spot where her manager fucked up and messed up and the other girl still couldn't pin her. Her manager gets ejected and she wins clean and then hugs the announcer and cries for helping her get over.
Yikes.
As
what
a heel.
The fuck?
This company's such bullshit.
Wow.
It's so booked for Mark. It's like, oh yeah, the marks don't mind if we break character in the middle of a pay-per-view. I'm not trying to be Mr. fucking K5 and be like, oh, Jim Cornette is right. Yeah. He knows how to do wrestling. I'm not doing that. But fucking come on. Like, it's like doing the magic trick and going, here's how we do it right now. Like,
don't worry afterwards and show it to you.
Yeah, I know your kids are amazed. Your kids are sitting there amazed, but we're going to ruin it for your kids right now. Like, we're going to just show them the trick as we go along.
So
fuck
did
you.
Did WWE just post a picture of Nia pinning her just because she won the title? Like, there was no reason?
No, no reason. They just said, look back at a Nia Jax match from... They just said, look back at a Nia Jax match from
just
Raw.
Poking them for fucking shits.
Yeah, and they did it, like... And they also did it before she got beat because they must have known, obviously. I mean, it was obvious she was winning.
Mm-hmm.
Although not from the booking. I guess maybe... This one thing you said was so obvious that that's probably why they put in so many near falls where it looked like she was going to lose. But it still didn't make no sense because she'd come out of this a complete babyface. They got no choice in terms of where they go with her on when's their show now? Friday, their show's moved to. They go head-to-head with SmackDown. Not, I don't think
AEW's going on Fridays now?
Or just because because this guy's so cocky about his TV deal and his ratings and everything and how he ended NXT. But then when the channel signed the NHL, AEW got moved over to Friday for hockey.
They're gonna die against fucking SmackDown.
Well, they were on there last week. I think they miss each other.
Totally? Really? That much of a miss?
Check it. I don't know. I think they're either on at 10 or they're on at 6.
And that's already started?
Well, it's not temp. It's not permanent. It started last Friday, yeah, but it will be happening again this Friday.
Oh, wow.
All through the playoffs.
Jesus Christ. Well, that brings us to actual SmackDown and what happened this week. And Billy thinks it's one of the worst shows in years.
I don't know what happened this week. It's not going to be called one of the worst shows in years in terms of those people that say, oh, you know, these matches were great. Like, that's what people are going to, like, some people say. And I guarantee you, there's podcasts out there that are saying, oh, there's some really great action on SmackDown this week. For me, I couldn't fucking stand it. I could not believe what I was like seeing in terms of how this show was timed out and what they decided to do.
Now, Usos so, and Street Profits, I will say that was a good match. I watched the match. I enjoyed the match, but I also see fucking, what's the fucking, I don't even see, I don't barely know their names. Fucking, I know Dawkins and Ford. Okay. Montez Ford, you know how annoying he is, right? And obnoxious. He's fucking yelling Uso and crossing his fucking eyes and making faces. Oh my God, I want to fucking hang myself. I'm like,
I can't wait till crowds are back when they find out, when they realize how, where people sit with these guys.
Oh man, I'm like, come on, this is a fucking, they're both actually, you know, they're capable fucking, and everybody with, Usos are fucking great. I could watch them do tag matches. They're usually have fucking fantastic matches. So I sat there, I said, okay, I'll watch.
Used to that.
I was into it, so I said, okay, but man, did that turn me to fuck off with that bullshit. I'm like, fuck.
That's a Roman's era to start, and he wants to know Jimmy's plan, and he was saying he's supportive of it, but then throughout the show, he's telling Jay, is this what you want? Is this what you want? You want to go back to when they're saying, which one are you? And all this stuff. So he's good for the show. Inside info. He wasn't even on the show this week. Some of this, they're pre-taping a lot of stuff now.
Oh, was that Roman?
Yeah. So if you have your COVID jab booked, you don't have to come to TV that week.
Oh, shit.
So they are, you're not allowed to be there. You're not allowed to, you, there's no choice. They have to. Everyone has to be vaccinated before Money in the Bank.
No shit.
They're one of those companies. Yeah.
I don't know how that's legal though. You can't force somebody. Otherwise, the NFL would be forced. They'd be like, "Fuck you! You're all getting this shit."
I have no idea. I guess it'll be a case of
make it uncomfortable. Okay. They can make it very uncomfortable because I know for football, they're like, "Okay, you don't have to," but when you have to be out of town or whatever the fuck it is. You're like not allowed to go anywhere. You have to stay at the fucking hotel. Like it's okay. Well, you want to play that game. Now you have to be locked up. So it makes you go, it's a better business decision just to fucking do this.
Well, you know how this is going to be. This is going to be, you're buried down to the ground. Or it's going to be, I think it's going to be more like you're just not on TV until it's a different climate.
That's true. I can see that. I mean, they punish people for fucking way far fucking less. So.
I will find out what the ramifications are because mm-hmm. But we will only know the ramifications if someone is anti-vax. Because if there's no one that's refused, then we won't. Then there won't be a story.
There was only one guy that I knew of, and he got fired. So,
and that's probably why. So he didn't have to.
Like, oh, he was doing way worse than that. That fucking moron.
So. The Street Profits win this match. It's 40 minutes.
No, they don't.
Into the sorry, the Usos win this match. It's four over the Street Profits. It's 40 minutes in at this point. Jimmy
pumped my fist. I was like, "Fuck yes!" Because I hate the fucking Street Profits. It's like, yes, yeah, I got involved.
But I'm sure that that Jay is turning next week.
Yeah, they don't let anything wait. They should fucking, you know what I mean? Come on.
They have waited. I mean, this whole tag storyline has been added in there to kind of, I think, get a match out of Roman and Jimmy quickly before Jimmy ends up joining anyway. So I think they might get right back around to this. But yeah, I think this is like a long way around to something.
So this is just going to be elsewhere. Jay, but it's Jimmy. It's going to be, I don't want to be with you. I'll fight you, get his ass beat, and then join him.
They'll probably just have Uso turn on him and Roman say he made the right choice and then Jimmy beats his brother and then loses to Roman. That would be probably what they would do to get to SummerSlam.
They could have a whole fucking faction because they could get Tamina over there and they could get fucking Naomi with them and have it be a fucking family. You know, they could fucking do that. But they fucking, you know.
Yeah, I actually don't think they need any women in this. I think it'll ruin it.
Yeah, I mean, at least fucking Naomi though, just because she's married into it. But you know, is Tamina really even? She's not really related though, is she? Because it's Superfly's side. So, and what is that? Tongan instead of fucking Samoan? I don't know. I can't tell the difference.
They're all interlinked somehow. We actually have. The women's match next, Liv and
how good Liv did Liv look?
Yeah, she looks all right. Yeah. They lose to Natty and Tamina because they're just getting wins at the moment.
Riot Squad going to turn bad soon?
I don't know. I mean, I at this point, I can't believe we've done an hour of the show. Then Bianca comes out because she's seen as the person to come out and get the big spot on the change of the hour. She beats Carmella. I just think to myself, why? Carmella is fucking unbelievable when she comes out in that outfit at the moment. But she loses this match. There's no match for Bianca after Bayley. Bayley's out there doing the commentary and all that gimmick and you know, trying to distract her, etc. But yeah, she's gonna get the Hell in a Cell match. But there's no one for Bianca to go. I mean, there's nowhere for Bianca to go. Do you just go back to Sasha after this? It's very limited.
See if so, you do you think this is where my fucking mind has gone? They have talked about Bianca using that fucking hair as a weapon. They've used it. They have talked about it a lot. Are they going to go to, I don't know if it'd be hair versus hair, but to be able to chop that fucking thing off, or even have Bailey's fucking head shaved, which I don't doubt that Bailey would do it. Something's going to go on with hair. I think it's going to, something's going to happen eventually where she's blaming that fucking ponytail, and I was thinking, maybe it's a way to get rid of that fucking ponytail, because it can't be comfortable to wrestle with it. It's got to be fucking, like, fuck, you know? And it's not like it's a real fucking hair. So, do they do something so she can get rid of that fucking thing?
I don't know. I think that's the whole gimmick, so I don't think they will.
Yeah, I know, but I'm thinking, does fucking Bailey fucking chop it off like they did with Sherry at SummerSlam, you know? With a fucking hacksaw or something. That's so keep in mind, if this happens, they mention it too much. They just mention it too much for me. I think that could, even if then Bailey loses, it can continue because then it could turn into a hair match with Bailey. And that could be SummerSlam. Bailey gets her head shaved at SummerSlam.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I think they're still waiting for the official announcement of that as well. I'm sure it's still going to be Vegas. Rollins out there. Oh, this is the most boring man on the universe. He just looks like a grade A. I've put something else here in my notes, but he just looks like a total prick coming out here. He just looks pathetic. I cannot believe this guy took a break for his kid coming, but he also was very stale and needed a break from TV to come back and do a worse version of the Messiah. This is worse. This doesn't make any sense because you're not even like trying to manipulate people or do anything. You're just out there in crappy suits, cutting crappy promos. Like, he's the most boring person in wrestling. Like, the whole of wrestling, he's the most boring person. But when you add that onto the fact that this show had the Street Profits talking for the same length of time, I tell you how many bad promos there were on this show. This dickhead gets to talk for 10 minutes about nothing. You had those fucking imbeciles at the beginning talking about nothing till the Usos come out. And then you have Ziggler and Rude stalling, going, oh, God, that's not fair. Oh, come on. This is child abuse. Oh, little Dominic. God. Little Dominic. He's fucking 6'2". His dad's little. Like, he's not smaller than his dad because he's younger. You fucking idiots. Like, what is wrong with everybody on this show today? I couldn't understand what they were doing. Like, how did Ziggler forget what he's just fucking checked out? He's like, pay me, I'll turn up. I don't even care what I'm doing. I'll lose to a woman. I don't think he cares.
And, I mean, how bad does it make them look where they couldn't beat Mysterio for fucking how long he was by himself, and then Dominic beats him by himself?
His son, like, he's not great in the ring. Like, he was good in those Rollins matches because Rollins...
Yeah, he was fantastic.
But, I mean, watch him run the ropes. He runs the rope like what I criticize the women for. He doesn't run the ropes like a man. He does that very slow, I can't run them fast, so I'll run them slow kind of run to the ropes.
I'll take a look.
Where he, like, you know, jogs to it and just, like, lightly, like, pushes it back against his body. Like, he really struggles to, like, run the ropes, and even, like, some of his offense is, like, really weak. His acting's really bad. It's like, what happened? What happened? Are you okay? Are you okay? What happened? No, he's fucking dead. Like that. Like, imagine my son came up to me like that. Oh, what happened? Are you okay? Yeah, no, my foot is facing like 90 degrees the wrong direction. But, you know, It's a good question, son. Fucking hell, it's so bad. So the main event sees them win this match. The things I've missed out on my notes is shit. Owens wins in a couple of minutes against Apollo by DQ. Next week, they're going to have another match for the belt without Aziz out there. He gave Owens the nail, the Umaga spike, and Owens sells it for about 45 minutes. He's even backstage, still coughing and shit. And Nakamura beats Gable on the show with the he's still got the boobs. What's his name?
For who?
Boogs.
Oh, Boogs.
Boogs. He's still got a boobs with him, and McAfee's still doing the air guitar gimmick and everything. God. But yeah, this show is the worst SmackDown ever in the Thunderdome.
Well,
100%. I can't think of a show that's come close to being as bad as this.
I mean, they go in one ear and out the other for me. I mean,
Raw was better than this. Raw was better than the show.
Well, I was very. Here's the thing with Raw. I watched Raw yesterday, and I was at the vacation house this weekend, Billy, laying back by the lake, and so get home. It's almost 7 o'clock, six something, right? And I'm like, well, this is probably best because. Oh my God. I still finished it almost exactly when Raw fucking ended because I had the fast forward button. I watched what I liked. And meanwhile, I watched one of the matches that I shouldn't have watched was the woman's one because I wanted to see what Mandy looked like. But otherwise, I was able to zip past.
Austin, when they come out, Austin's like, even Dana looks good today.
Yeah, Dana got a weird thing, but I mean, she could look. She got those big porno tits and everything, but it's more her personality that bothers too. And she makes that fucking face like she's, you know, gorgeous with her fucking mouth open that says, "Put her here, boys." You know,
I don't know. Like some weeks she's really bad. Last week particularly, she looked really old. I don't know what that was.
It's that fucking flexing too. I go crazy, but you know they're told to fucking do it. So what are you gonna do? But some of that outfit wasn't flattering. Like there's that fucking. You know, strap that goes across the belly. So anytime you're bending out, your belly fat fucking sticks in the middle of it. You know, it's just, you don't want to do that. So here we go at Raw. They start off with the Memorial Day sucking of the troops, as they do with every time they do this. They suck off America. Jimmy Smits is the new announcer for Raw. How about that? At least he's from NXT.
And what was your overall?
It was better than the other one.
That's it.
Yeah, pretty much that's it. He blended more so into the background for me, which at this point I'll take. Like I said, offensive lineman. If you don't call their name, you know they did okay. So it's just like
I paid
whatever.
More attention to him than that, and I thought that he was pretty good. Like he had some decent comments in there as well when he was saying something like Kofi's the pebble in your shoe, and like he started to get a personality as we went through the show. At first it was like good. I don't know his name. I don't need to know the commentator's name. The WWE style has become a case of, well, you don't know his name's Tom Phillips. Like, yeah. You don't need to know his name's Tom Phillips. They have a commentator style where the straight man is not as important as the two guys around him.
No,
now, Byron's
sure.
shit, and Corey's good when he can be
Byron
when he,
drives
when
me
can,
crazy.
When Corey can be bothered to work and he's not just a sarcastic tool, then yeah, he's fine. But yeah, you don't really notice them. You haven't really noticed the main guys over the years. But this guy came out with his personality as the show started to go on, and he was actually really good. I think he's going to be good because he sounds to me exactly like Joe Rogan. Did you notice his voice?
Yeah, yes, I do.
And, I think that's good.
You know, and I can't give a full critique because I did fast forward a shit ton. So I didn't really listen to it. Next week will be better for me to listen to because especially that main event. I fast-forwarded until the last 5 minutes because I knew it was going to be 50 commercials. So here's Miz in the ring with Morrison again, and I thought he was, like, hurt or eaten. And then you could see the brace in his pants. I'm talking about his knee and his cock. So he said, okay, his knee is wrapped up. I don't know, you know, how badly this injury is because he was at the Indy 500, too, the day before. And I was like, what the fuck is he doing there if he's hurt? First thing I thought. I thought it was a great touch with Morrison wearing garlic before they even said anything about it. Because I'm like, oh, yeah, he was eaten by zombies. So he's like, you know, trying to ward off. But meanwhile, it has to do with vampire. So Charlotte shows up. She's the guest. And she really looks.
Charlotte.
It just looks like there's been so much done. I mean, it looks like she's really, really trying.
Like
she's like, I want to be pretty. Rhea shows up.
She looked good.
I don't know. I don't know if there could be enough to be done.
If you're looking for somebody who will be like the combo of, I want them to look good, but I also want them to, like, I want them to look good so I can put them out there and like do media and shit.
Yeah.
But I also want them to be really good in the ring. Like, she fits that. Like, you can't, ideally, you want Eva Marie to come in and fucking
kill
knock
it
out of the park,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got it. But as far as like,
that's why, I mean, Trish was
even
so
more
good.
So, even more so than Sasha, because, you know,
yeah.
50% of that country is racist. So that's the problem, right? So we put Sasha out there. Some people will be like, oh, I don't like this black bitch, brown bitch, whatever she is. I don't even know. But Charlotte, like, you know, it's for everybody. And especially when you can hit the right pitches. There's some pitches she puts up where you just think, oh, this is one of the hottest women ever. But you know, you see her on a week-to-week basis. You know that she's not one of the hottest women ever. But she does get you with some of these, like, photo shoot pitches.
And the 100%. Fact that she's, you know, flair. So that goes a long way too, that, you know.
Oh, her dad's still working. Her dad's still doing
in the
pools. He was on the Triller boxing show. Like, he's got a job with Triller. I'm sure they pay more than WWE.
I thought you were going to mention that he was wrestling in the pool. Did you see that?
No, what's that?
I got to send it to you. Andrade suplexed him into a pool over the weekend.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Yeah, he suplexed him, and he's like wearing a fucking, a spandex shirt, like a fucking scuba shirt or something. I go, Jesus Christ. But
crazy this guy is alive.
Yeah, he's getting suplexed into the pool, and you hear Charlotte saying something. She's calling some match. So,
if a company came up and said, you will give you like $500,000 to get back in the ring, he would 100% do it.
Of course. He needs the money. He'll fucking, and he would be happy if he died in a ring. So now we got, you know, Rhea comes out there, and it's always with the, you know, you couldn't beat fucking Nikki Cross. And of course now Nikki Cross comes out and says, oh, I'll beat you. I want next in line. And there's an argument, of course, about this. But then Charlotte goes, I could beat you in 1 minute. And I write, ugh, here we go. And so they have a fucking match, and Nikki could last a whole minute, and she celebrates. How fucking pathetic.
Well, they said a minute, but they still put a 2 minute clock up.
See, that is interesting, because I go, why do they keep saying she survived 2 minutes when they said, well, I could beat her 1 minute? I'm like, they completely fucked this up.
The other thing with that as well, like the way it was booked differently to last week, because this week, Nikki's doing the whole running around the fucking ring thing.
Yeah.
She was like running out and it's like, why are you doing that for? Like, you look bad enough.
Yeah.
That they're booking you in this match anyway. And they thought, you know what? You don't quite look as inferior to these two as we want you to.
Yeah.
So instead of surviving 2 minutes this week, could you please run outside for the first minute? Jesus. Because we need to protect Charlotte even more than Rhea, because it's really embarrassing that Charlotte can't beat you in 2 minutes. So, yeah, please run around and do all this shit. It was fucking stupid.
Who celebrates lasting, more than 1 minute other than me in bed? It's pathetic. Orton versus Woods, and Riddle is ringside for this. Orton uses the bro Derek to win, which really makes fucking Woods look like shit. Like, oh, I'll beat this guy now. You beat him last week. Let me fucking beat the shit out of him this week. And they just don't. Let's take our turns in fucking him.
You gotta have jobbers on the show, though. Like, someone's got. I think now I'm like past the point where everybody needs to be everybody and keep them all, like, at the even still. At some point, even Steve, at some point, we gotta turn around and go, these are our stars. And these are the people that we want to get into our top echelon. And these are the people that will never be there. And they're a good hand, but they're okay to like beat them a lot. And I think that's what Woods is. I don't think Woods is a star. He's not a star to me. Maybe a star he was a star, like, as far as a New Day level. But on a singular basis, he's not a star. And also, you know, he has all this shit going on with his video games and all that kind of stuff. I think if you have that extracurricular stuff going on and you say that you're into this, that, and the other, and yeah, then, you know, some people are just here to, like, do the wrestling. You're not going to catch Drew play a computer game or anything like that. And trying to be on someone's, and it's, you know, even goes for the guys that are on these channels playing these games with each other and all that kind of stuff. The correlation to that and legitimate toughness doesn't hit with me. I mean, obviously it's possible. It's possible to be Brock Lesnar and have a PlayStation 5 at home.
Yes.
But it just, obviously, right?
Because you can't just have wrestling be your entire life and not have anything that you enjoy otherwise.
No, I know, but like but my picture of Lesnar is he doesn't have a PlayStation 5.
He works out only, right?
He cuts trees down and
yeah,
shit.
And he hunts. You know? Like, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
exactly.
He fucks his wife. He crawls on top of his old lady, like he said, and has a Coors Light. Shayna versus Reggie. I actually stopped to watch the Reggie stuff just because he does fucking weird shit, you know, because of the flip-flop and stuff. It's different than we've seen with the flip-flop for some reason. Fire comes out of the ring post, distracts Shayna, and Reggie rolls her up for a win. Mason T-Bar without the masks, I can't even take seriously. It's fucking weird. Like, they have almost different personalities, and Djokovic, or whatever the fuck his name is, he doesn't look good without a mask now. Like, that makeup is shit. It doesn't do anything for him. It's, I don't know. And they're versus the house party. I said, thank God for DVR, and I fast-forward this fucking match. Sheamus says he'll fight Ricochet and Humberto back-to-back, not for the title, not at the same time. He loses to them both, and he gets his nose broken, or at least smashed, during the match, and he's gushing out of his fucking nose, which is pretty fucking fun to watch. Mandy and Dana versus Lana, Naomi. Match is sloppy as fuck.
I'd say the one thing I liked about that, I did like, if the two guys were going to beat Sheamus, which they did,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was good that, what the fuck is this? Sorry. I thought it was good that Sheamus looked like that, because it was like these two guys really fucking did a number on him, like 2-on-1, you know?
Yeah.
Like he fought hard, but like, you know, there's two. I think if they just both beat him, he looks like a fool, but somehow he come out of this losing two matches and still looking like pretty tough.
Yeah,
I think the blood like added to it. It's like, you know, you can't win a gang, you can't win a gang fight. Like, you can get beaten up by six guys at Syracuse in a nightclub and still and still look over when you're giving up the belt, that kind of thing.
Rubber
match.
Do you
remember how that was nine guys? Do you remember back in 95
yes.
that was nine guys?
Yeah, and they said it on the biography, right? They said nine guys on the biography.
No, they said five guys on the biography, no. Nine guys on TV.
I swear, Sean fucking ends up saying nine eventually, because I thought they said six, and then it fucking changed to fucking nine. And I think Cornette said it was fucking one or something.
Sorry, Cornette said it was like one military guy.
Yeah, right? One fucking Marine that beat the piss out of him. Rubber match, Cedric versus Shelton. Fuck. Why is this even, like, who gives a fuck? And of all things, Cedric beats Shelton with the thumbs to the eye, wins in the match. Who cares? Riker and Elias, and you saw they were changing Riker into a good guy, which probably would save his fucking job, too, because it's a miracle he still works there. He said,
well,
Elias
at
him.
I think the whole troops thing mm-hmm. is why he still works there, because I think that Vince loves that shit. And I think he's like, you know, when you're doing this whole Memorial Day and tribute to the troops or whatever,
yeah.
You've got like, now you've got one of them. You've got one of these like guys that you've had a hard on for. I think this guy will be up there. I think he'll be up there. Like, I think he'll,
ooh, really?
You know, they'll cut his hair, and obviously at some point.
They
but,
need to. Because it's going anyway.
I think he'll be up there. I think not necessarily when Drew and Lashley's spot at the moment, but I think he's got a job for a while. Maybe like Braun, Braun, you know, that Braun kind of level. I think he could be there. I think he'll get pushed.
Yeah, I mean, they've shit on him for so long. It's hard to see that. But I mean, great fucking shape. So that's half the fucking battle.
I can see him facing Lashley for the title in the next 4 months.
They better fucking have him start destroying people then, because it's hard to forget.
He'll destroy Elias. Well, it's hard to forget, but he hasn't lost that many matches.
Yeah, but he's always with that team that just fucking gets their ass whooped all the time. It's like that, and it's the same as like we see Cesaro. Like they try to go, all right, win fucking, you know, 20 matches in a row, and we still go, well, there's no chance though. We see the fucker lose constantly. So
yeah, but I don't think this guy's as tainted as that. I mean, this is his first turn. It's like a new coat of paint already. Whereas like other people have had, you know, this coat and that coat or whatever. Like this is fresh. A fresh character now, like after today. He's going to be Sergeant Slaughter now.
Does Elias cut his hair? Makes it better if he fucking does it. So then it's at least something to fight. Shave that fucking beard. All that shit.
The beard's all right.
I don't know if he can get the fucking crew cut, though, and be military with a fucking beard because you got to be clean, you know?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I've never been in the military.
So, let's see. This is the Riker and Elias thing versus the tag champs. And like we were saying, Elias fucks him over and just leaves and leaves him there to fucking lose. So this is going to be, you know, Riker turning good guy. Alexa, she's doing her Alexa's Playground with Reggie. And they've somehow made Alexa look even worse. Now she's like they really paled her out. So she's with Reggie. And Reggie's answering questions.
Dealing with like depression from fucking killing her own pig.
Yeah. Killing her pig. So Shayna shows up and beats the shit out of fucking Reggie and then sits down and says, me and you got a fucking problem, Alexa. And we're going to settle it next week. Oh, and by the way, Lily, you're just a stupid doll. And I get chills over my body, Billy, because I at that point remember Billy telling me Lily's going to have a fucking match. And she's going to be, oh my God.
Oh. So not only that, like they've changed from that because originally the plan was for Lily and Alexa to win the tag belts.
Yeah.
But now, like the plan is, the plan was like as of last week that they would go into a feud with Shayna because the idea is, as of last week, it changes all the time because originally they were supposed to win the tag belts quickly so they could do special effects before the fans got in.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't look like they're winning it that quickly. So yeah. the plan looks like now, but they might not even do that. They may have like Shayna and Alexa win the titles because Vince has had this issue for a while. He thinks that Shayna is ugly.
Shayna and Alexa to win the title?
Yes. Basically, he thinks that Shayna is ugly and he wants to utilize her like in a more, in a different kind of way where he liked that flesh eating thing that she did with Becky and he would like to put on some like makeup and shit with her. So I think they see this as a good plot spot for her to be where she ends up with Alexa where they can actually then Frankenstein her up and have her like either in this group where, you know, Lily can still win the titles or they'll have Shayna win it with Alexa, with Lily's help or whatever.
So does Lily possess Shayna's body? God.
I think the direction that they're heading towards is getting Shayna into a feud with her and then with them. Mm-hmm. So because they want to get Shayna's face as it is, altered.
Yeah. Draw some eyebrows on her for her. Oh, fuck. So the last match is Drew versus Kofi. They've been pushing all night. Oh, my God. This is the main event. Oh, my God. This is to see who goes against Hell in a Cell against Bobby. If Bobby shows up, there's suspension, blah, blah, blah. And they
what
got
do you
that.
Think of Bobby and the hookers? What
I was going to say the bodybuilder in the background with that fucking the shoulder with the veins.
I don't like the hooker thing anyway. I think it's too, like, cliche. There's loads of things I don't like about it. I think this storyline is shit. And I told Drew, this is awful. You need to get away from it.
Yeah.
First of all, Hell in a Cell is fine because I don't think I'm not one of these people who say, oh, it's always Drew and the feud's too long. It's like, well, he had the belt for ages. He lost it. Okay. So, like, he really shouldn't have had another match after Mania because Mania was his rematch for losing it unfairly. But then he still won a number one contenders match. So if you're redoing this feud, it does need a finish. It was the only feud we had out there that could have got to Hell in a Cell anyway. So that is the thing that you need to consider in terms of if you're going to do Hell in a Cell, this is the only match you really have that can have a Hell in a Cell because you've done people a favor. But Money in the Bank with no fans and Hell in a Cell with fans is fucking stupid. So the swap over is makes sense to me, and I'm happy with it, right? So and I'm not got no issue with this feud, but I have got an issue with the way this feud done. If you want to have a Hell in a Cell, you've got to fucking hate each other to the point where it's like, I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you. I don't want to see your face again. I'm gonna fucking grind your face into the mesh. Yeah. Right? That's what it needs to be. You don't have number one contender matches to see who gets the match at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
Because that leads, because then we know it's all fixed and Kofi was never gonna win. But in their TV, if Kofi wins, he gets Lashley in Hell in a Cell. Why? That's not what Hell in a Cell is. It's a feud ender. So the Kofi and Lashley feud, which only started when Kofi pinned him in a non-title match because of Drew, it doesn't require, and it's not applicable to Hell in a Cell. Only Drew is. So why does Drew need a playoff match to get there, a play-in to get there? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense. The Hawes don't make any sense because it doesn't, like, it's not parallel to anything he was doing. He was doing the tough guy MMA thing. So I'm actually seeing it saying, I'm all for, like, women on TV being utilized in another way. I think that Dana and Mandy and Peyton Royce and all of these girls, they shouldn't have wrestled. They should have found other jobs for them to do. Iconics should have been a talk show, right? Mm-hmm. I've been saying this stuff for ages, but these are women on TV for no reason at all. I would rather him have a masseuse, a trainer, a physio, a chef. I would rather have this whole, like, Team Lashley, which are all these, like, people. Like, you can have one woman there, like a female physio, but I'd rather have this, like, ridiculous team with this, like, oh, this guy's got an entourage. He's got he brings his nutritionist with him and his cook with him and his trainer, his personal trainer comes around with him. Like, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, this entourage of people for this athlete instead, which I think looks cooler for him.
I agree.
He's the guy. He's the athlete with the athletic entourage, the MVP, like,
yeah, you know, very like, yeah, with that MVP entourage, exactly. Like the show.
So
yeah,
you
yeah.
got like you got the agent, the physio, the chef, the trainer, like that. That's what I would have done.
That's pretty good.
The agent. I've said the agent, but yeah. That's what I would have done. I think actually they're trying to add more star power to him, but I think their ideas are very fucking basic. These are very basic ideas for people to work on television.
So when Drew loses to him, is it got to be somebody's got to help so he can get on to somebody else?
Well, who are you going to help? Jinder Mahal.
God. I don't know. He's got almost... Fuck, maybe he gets a vacation until... When's the crowd back? Money in the Bank?
I'm looking at it right now, 18th of July.
Yeah, so like take a month. He can have a month off. Get him. Oh, my knee hurt. They beat me to death.
I was going to come to that. You know that.
Really? Where is it? It's in Houston, right?
Texas, yeah. Well, it's Fort Worth.
Yeah, you should fight. Well, yeah, you can't go. You can't walk. Shit, you could roll in. Well, there is our fucking show. Now, we should tell them we're going to be doing this on a different day from now on. And it's probably going to be released on a Saturday, most likely. So we'll still be around. It's a matter of finding when, because our fucking time differences are so... I'm in California. Billy's in England, obviously, if you couldn't tell by his Brooklyn accent. So that's our biggest issue when real-life jobs get in the way, or at least mine.
Not mine. but in saying that, so what we know, we all know SmackDown is the best show.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be covering SmackDown super fresh. The issue will be that Raw is slightly delayed. Well, it's going to be five days delayed instead.
Yeah.
But at the moment, as we do the show, SmackDown is 4 days delayed. But the good thing about this is that you'll get on pay-per-view weekends, you'll get an extensive like pay-per-view preview.
Yeah.
That will be the benefit of it. You're also getting the better show covered more fresh.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand there's people are like creatures of what's that saying?
Habit.
Creatures of habit, that's mm-hmm. it. So they're like, some people love their wrestling shows to come out on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So we even suffered when we used to bring out on Wednesdays. Steel Cage used to do the shows on Wednesday morning, it would be out. But yeah, so what if Raw, in the rare event that it is massively relevant, and we feel like, you know, if you guys feel like, oh, you know, I want to hear about that, whatever.
We'll find
out. I'll drop something in. Like, you know, there can be 20-minute. I'm not going to, I don't want to commit to this in terms, especially my condition. I'm doing this show on so much drugs.
And not the fun ones that he likes the best.
No shit. I mean, needles in the stomach kind of stuff. But yeah, if it, you know, some weeks, if I think the show's relatively decent, I'll put 20 minutes together on my own and just make sure that I get something in. But yeah, I mean, these changes are going to be across the board as well. We're going to have to find a ways to cope with everything in terms of NFL, the relaunch of Man Show, all that stuff. So we're going to be increasing our content, but it's just not going to be digested on a Tuesday after Raw, because, I mean, I don't. It's so weird because it's hard to get out your. It's hard to get out your even your mentality. It's like this Raw is clearly worse. Even the company has said that the other show does more. Like, you know, the other show's on the bigger channel and does more ratings, and we put more effort into it. But still, your mentality is, well, you talk about wrestling on Tuesday. You just do. So it's weird. The other issue will be, it'll be quite far after a pay-per-view as well. But again, in those circumstances,
if all hell breaks loose on pay-per-view, we will find a way. I could send in my fucking take. You could send in your take. You know, I mean, it could be that.
So when it's certain pay-per-views, on SummerSlam, when it's SummerSlam, we'll get it done after SummerSlam. Yeah. So I'll be awake and I can do SummerSlam after SummerSlam finishes.
Sure.
So you're not going to be missing anything major.
Yeah, the major ones, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so let's make that clear. But we just, circumstances brought it about. But actually, when you eliminate circumstances from the equation, why should we do SmackDown 4 days afterwards and do Raw immediately when it's just so much less happens?
Yeah. And it's a lot better show, for sure. Yeah, and you'd rather talk about that, that's for sure. So we'll still have our system down.
You know, you might benefit as well, because, I mean, the other podcasts actually do, a lot of podcasts do come out on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So we might actually get our own space on Saturdays.
Yeah, somebody not fucking all done up, you know. And then on Saturday or whatever, they go for their fucking, you know, workout or whatever on the weekend, and or, you know, take a drive, take a trip. They could listen in the car during that, and that's a new, fresh wrestling show.
I don't think so. Saturday's a big workout day for me normally. I think
you don't go for like a Mondays, walk or anything like that. Well, no, not anymore.
Mondays, for me, Monday's always the day where it's like, Monday's the day is like, oh, what did I eat this week? What did I eat this weekend? Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it. You could check all my nonsense out at Lingus Mafia. You could check out Billy and his broken ankle and legs and feet on SGP Soccer on Twitter as well. It's so hard for me to ever say. I don't know why. For Billy, I'm Cav. We'll see you next time.
My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big-ass piece of shit.